jig me up a walleye from the bottom of the lake. And I'm not gonna tell you what I use for bait. I'm a jigger. I'm the best jigger around.
I'm a jigger. Grizz is a jigger. Anyway, we also have Pete Haynes on the line. And, you know, I'd like to introduce Pete, but I'm not really sure I know how. He has a, let's just say, a storied career. And Pete has just gotten in the process of putting together some writing about his early days in California when he got here before I was born. But
Johnny.
Makes me feel good anyway. But Pete's an all-around good guy. I fish with him in Alaska usually whenever I can get up there. He's a consummate angler, great guy. He does a lot of seminars on from fishing for salmon for we did a work with the Fred Hall shows and did seminars online. And I'm not sure where we're going to go in this segment, but we've got about 8 minutes. So, you know, we'll just kind of bring Grizz and you in the line. And, you know, I know that one of the things that's important to you right now, you're just putting together a series of articles of fishing in Southern California, well, even starting before 1950, but during the 50s. So,
Johnny, I'll tell you what, it's specifically because I grew up, we arrived in, my dad was resident California Highway Patrolman in Malibu, California in 1949. I was 10 when we arrived, and my sister was 7. But for the most part, in the fishing end, and I know your audience is probably particularly interested in the fishing area, the southernmost area in California, for the most part, and so I've been told, is Malibu, California, with a ocean-going fish called steelhead. And, of course, they'll make runs up into the creeks, and the creeks that were involved, all the time I was a kid, was Topanga Canyon. That was one creek that those fish would run up. Malibu Canyon would be the other. Trancas Canyon, where I now live in Malibu West, and Sacas Canyon, which is up north between Malibu and the Ventura River. There were just in mass steelhead running up there in the 30s, 20s, and 30s. So I've been told, and believe me, the people that I've spoken with were there, and I had conversations with them when I was a kid, you know, like that. So, I mean, we're talking about, I don't know how familiar you are with steelhead, but steelhead is an ocean-running fish that will go up into fresh water, spawn, and then return to salt water, and unlike their cousins, the salmon, obviously, they pass away and die. So that's the unique part of that.
Right. Well, steelhead basically is a rainbow trout but it has the opportunity, and it does go to the ocean and return, and they'll do that, what, 2, 3, 4 times during their life cycle?
Right. I'm thinking there has been, they've had them tagged early on, and a couple of them have returned as many as 8 times to spawn. So those fish are out in the open ocean all that while. And, you know, a good friend of mine is a biologist, and we're trying to compare these same species of steelhead trout to the ones up north, like in Oregon, Washington and stuff. And he was telling me that sometimes, because of the fact that the southern rivers or the southern creeks are just opportunistic. What they'll do is, in order for them to get up there, there has to be a monstrous amount of rain and water going to the ocean. And then what they'll do is come in, get in, and get out. Whereas sometimes up in Oregon, Washington, where there's a flow of water constantly going to the ocean, they can stay in that fresh water for like a year. So that's not so down here from what I've been told by my biology friends. So.
Well, and what you talked about is, you know, when the, I guess most of it happened after World War II, you know, when they started building all the dams, And at that time, they weren't all that concerned about the fishery, because nobody really thought much about it or cared that much about it. So, you know, they don't, you know, they didn't put a lot of fish ladders in, and were not too concerned about that. And that pretty much wiped out most of the steelhead fishing in Southern California. Would you say that?
Yes, I would. In fact, matter is, the only, it's kind of like we're stuck in a catch-22, Johnny, and I'll tell you why. First of all, Topanga Canyon, there's a lot of just exactly what you were talking about. A lot of people that were up the canyon would dam the canyon or would dam the creek at their residence, and then so that pretty much knocked that down. And then the one in Malibu Creek, then I, you know, and the worst thing, the worst possible thing for the environment, is they put the Las Virgenes treatment plant, which treats sewage, right on the creek, and the sewage, you know, affluent, I mean, it's supposed to be treated, but it's going down through Malibu now, so that's got to have turned them off. And then it was ironic, because I just got done doing an article, and the fact of the matter is, from 1949 to 57 is these articles that I have written that are going into the Malibu Surfside News. At any rate, I had a story about going up Trancas Creek, where I live now in Malibu West, and in those days there was nothing there, okay? And in the meantime, 50 years ago, my dad drops me off, I go up and I catch some fish, some small steelhead trout for dinner, and we return and the whole thing. And then I, you know, it was probably 50 years ago before... before anybody can convince me to present that those fish were still up in there, you know, so I couldn't stand it. So 3 or 4 days ago, I got all my stuff together and hiked back up there, and we had a way to catch these steelhead when they're way back up inside there. And we used the salmon eggs, and then we would sink a salmon egg hook deep into the salmon egg itself, and then no weight at all, just fly line it in the currents and stuff. And so I didn't want to fish for them, so I took a bottle of salmon eggs up there, highly visible, and went up to each and every creek or the pool that I knew, and I strategically threw the eggs exactly where I knew the fish would be hiding, underneath the ledges of rocks and stuff like that. And I threw about half of that jar into those waters, and absolutely nothing. So what we were talking about then is, on my way out, the county flood control district made a huge wall that was a diversion wall that would divert the water from the creek bed over into a spillway, which led to the ocean, and then they concreted it all in, and then I was looking, and there was absolutely no way that a spawning steelhead could get up into Trancas Creek. So there's exactly what you were talking about, John. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I think the DFG and, you know, a lot of people are pedaling backwards now to try and, you know, try and correct some of those mistakes. But, you know, once they're gone, they're gone. So, you know, maybe they'll come back. But anyway, Pete, I know you've got a ton of stories. We don't have a whole lot of time, but you spend a lot of time on sport fishing boats in Southern California. And we've got about 30 seconds. Just give us a quick overview of what was then and what is now.
Well, I'd say when we first arrived there, there were three boats built in 1947 off the Malibu Pier. The GB, who, by the way, a guy by the name of very, very famous San Diego skipper, was very, very young at that time. His name was Bruce Barnes, and he ran the GB out of Malibu Pier as a young man. And then, of course, Jack Ward and Tom Hernage, they ran the Cobido. Jack Ward ran the Lindbrook, right, and Tom Hernage ran the Cobido.
Well, Pete, you know, I said we had 30 seconds. We already used that up.
Sorry.
But no, appreciate it. We'll bring you back around again. But I'd like to find more about what has changed and why. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan and Pete Haynes, the, you know, very great guy. We appreciate hearing from you. And we also have Grizz still hanging in there. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
West Marine is America's favorite boating supply source. They've got thousands of items to keep your boat looking good and running like new. West Marine has an incredible selection of apparel and footwear for all your adventures on land and sea. Boats, motors, screws, fittings, the latest electronics, fishing gear, apparel, and friendly, knowledgeable staff. With locations nationwide, West Marine has all you need for fun on the water. Call 1-800-BOATING or log on to westmarine.com to locate the store nearest you. World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
It's all for the rod, the jolly, jolly rod. All for the rod and the tackle. I spent all my tin on this fishing boat I'm in. As across the mighty water I do travel.
Okay, welcome to Fish Talk Radio, or welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and then in our studio a little bit south of us, all the way down in the capital city, the beautiful city of peace in La Paz, Baja California, sir, is the Grizz on the line with us. But now we have a very special guest. I would call her the queen of the sport fishing boats in Cabo San Lucas, which is probably has more sport fishing boats than any other place I know of. Yeah. By the way, Minerva, about how many sport fishing boats are there that go out of Cabo San Lucas?
There's an average of about anywhere from 360 to 440 boats a day that leave this marina to go fishing.
Wow. I mean, that's like two or three times the size of the Mexican Navy.
It is. It's big. And I mean, like, even our new port captain says that he was just delighted to come to a marina that has that much activity.
Wow, that is incredible. And speaking of activity, you've got a couple of boats that you operate, and then you've got the premier tackle shop in southern Baja. And if you don't have it, they don't need it.
Well, that's what our whole goal is. I mean, that's what we built it on, the fact that the fisherman could come here and get everything and anything he needs to fish in the Baja.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about fishing in the Baja. As you know, we've got Grizz on the line, and we just kind of mentioned a little bit earlier in the show about, you know, every year is a special year, but some years are even more special. And this 2012 has been a very special year. It's, you know, it kind of started early and stayed late, and, you know, things kind of go up and down. But all in all, from what I can see, it's been a spectacular year down there.
It has. I mean, like, you know, breaking that world record yellowfin tuna record in September.
Yeah.
And then the numbers that the tuna jackpot tournament produced and the sizes is just, like, unbelievable. Truly, John, truly, and I think Grizz will agree with me, these kind of sizes put us not just as the striped marlin capital of the world, but also as the yellowfin capital of the world.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, you're probably right.
You're right. It's just been incredibly big fish this year.
Well, and of course, the Grizz and I were out, was it October? When would it put? I can't. Anyway, it was a while back, and hooked into some big tuna, and that's a lot of work, Minerva. You know, I think I'd rather do a 30-40.
I mean, you know, you hook up to one of those monsters, and it's like, you better get your back and your arms in gear and just get ready for a fight.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And so what's happening down there right now?
Well, the Gordo Bank is still holding big, big cows. They're pulling out, you know, there's not as abundant, but they're still pulling out 250, 270-pound cows every now and then from the Gordo. On Saturday, I heard of about a 250-pounder, and not anything in the way of small yellowfin tuna schools, but those big cows are still out there. And the really exciting news in the last couple of days is the marlin, the striped marlin, are beginning to school up again, very close off the tip, right off the lighthouse.
Well, it sure saves on the gas and the time, doesn't it? You can get your fish and get back in before lunch.
Yeah, and you know, not only that, but it's kind of exciting to watch how it all happened, because you start hearing the yachts that show up here, you know, a week or 2 weeks ago, and they started telling us that as they came through Mag Bay, they started seeing huge numbers of striped marlin, and now they just appeared in the last few days, so shows you they've been migrating their way south, and here they are.
Wow. You know, that just reminds me of something. Back in the older days, especially during the Bisbee, if you look off in the distance and you see one of these big motor yachts or fishing crafts out there, and if you saw a puff of black smoke coming up, you knew that what had happened is they'd hooked a marlin and the captain put the throttle down. But with these new clean burning engines, you can't see that anymore.
Yeah, you have to really see it visually. Yeah, I know exactly where you're coming from. I've heard this
you
before.
You guys are too old. I don't remember that.
Yeah, we're going to go down in the books of history. We're so old.
Yeah. Well, you're still a baby.
Yeah, but you know, and also another exciting thing is that we're now seeing the Sierra schooling up along the shoreline,
and that
makes the surf fishermen really, really excited. Well, you know,
I have to assume the water temperature is coming down a bit then.
Yeah, they are coming down a bit. We've gone down about 3 degrees in the last couple of days.
Okay.
Because it was just a little too warm on the coastline.
Yeah.
And we're even seeing some rooster fish.
Whoa, okay. Gosh, you know what? It's still time to go down there. And you can go down there in January and February, and, you know, it's a little cooler, but the fishing down there is always good. Sometimes it's just great, but it's looking like if you want to give somebody a Christmas present, buy him a ticket and go down to Cabo and stop in and talk to Minerva. And by the way, you do have a fleet of boats too, don't you?
Oh, we do. We have Minerva's fleet, and we specialize in 31s and 33s with twin engines, and just perfect for a family or a couple.
Mm-hmm.
So, we invite all your listeners to come and visit us.
Okay. Well, you know, Minerva, we're on, I think, 20. Oh, we're supposed to announce a new station. I forgot to do that. But we're on, I think, 24 broadcast stations in the U.S. now. Plus, thousands and thousands of podcast downloads. So hopefully if there's anybody that's not out shopping and they're listening in, they might give you a call. Or and that a website is M. Now, let's spell it out. It's
www.minervas.com.
Minervas.com. Okay. And
that's
right. If you get lucky, you might even get to meet Minerva. And if you do, say hi for me.
Okay, well, it's nice talking to you boys.
All righty. Thanks, Minerva. We'll let you get back to work.
We'll talk to you later. We'll see you down there.
Okay.
All right, Grizz. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks, Minerva. Hey, Grizz, we're going to go move over now to another friend of yours, which has a product that is probably more important in Baja than it is in most of the rest of the world. And I know myself... I sometimes forget, and I've gone out fishing in Baja, and we came back and it looked like somebody had taken a blowtorch to my face. But by the time you realize what's happened, it was too late, and it's not a very smart thing to do, and I'm certainly not proud of it. But there are ways to avoid that, and you don't have to get a bunch of greasy, smeary grease and liquid and rub it all over yourself. There's another way to do that. And we're going to find out from Jan exactly what that is. Jan?
Hi. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Yeah, it is, Jan. How you doing? Why don't you tell us just with this great thing that you have that I use, well, both of them. You know, I like to cover my little bald head and in the back of my neck. Tell us about how that works, because
Grizz,
you really got something great going.
Grizz, you do not
we
have...
We actually have two products. The Soul Flap was the original, and it was designed to keep the ears and neck from getting sunburned. And it's open on the top, so your head still breathes, and you can wear it under or over any hat. So, you know, if you start out in the day and it's cloudy, you can keep one of these in your tackle box and pull it out when the sun comes out and not worry about getting sunburned the rest of the day. And the other is the gator, which is more like a tube that you can wear as a mask. So you can cover all of your face and neck with it. Or you can wear it like a cap, which is the Grizz likes to wear it as a cap to cover his head.
Yeah, I like it. And you know, the other thing about that, it doesn't have to be even the sun shining. When I'm out on Mag Bay or when this time of year, you know, a lot of people don't realize that the wind with the salt does a lot of damage to your face.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when you're really hauling across the ocean there and fasten a boat getting to where you want, I put that the tuber you call the gator and put it up and cover my face up so I don't get windburnt, my lips don't get chapped, and I come out looking like a baby, young and beautiful like always.
By the way, Grizz, you said you have a little bald head. That's not true.
I know, it's a big bald head.
There you go. Like a pumpkin. But it's got some fur on it, like the Grizz. Anyway, but that's one of the reasons that we wanted to bring Jan on, because I had never even seen or heard of these things until about a year or so ago, and then I started seeing people using them.
It is a new product. It's made out of a moisture-wicking product, so it's great when it's really hot. It'll wick the sweat away and keep you cooler. And a lot of the construction industry is really starting to enjoy using them. You're more productive if you feel cooler. But the fishermen love it because you get the reflection off the water. You're out in the sun all day long just getting cooked. And it's a wonderful new product, and we're happy to have them with the Grizz logo on them. And it's not too late to order them for Christmas presents.
Great idea. Hey, Jan, we're going to run out of time here very quickly. So can you, in just a couple of seconds, can you give us some contact information?
Soulflaps.com, SOLFLAPS.com. You can order online. They're two for $19.95. We're offering a 28% discount right now, and use code Grizz to get free shipping.
Oh, okay. What about code John?
Well, we can enter that one in too.
All right. Well, we got to get that. And Soul, it's like in Spanish for sun, SOLFLAPS.com.
Yes, absolutely.
All righty. Hey, Jan, thank you so much, and have a very Merry Christmas, and that would make a great idea for anybody that gets on the water. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. Grizz, if you don't mind staying tuned, we'd really appreciate talking to you some more when we can. So you're listening to Fish Talk Radio.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAHA.
For more than a century, sport fishermen have led the charge for conservation. From trout to marlin, anglers have worked to protect our natural resources and establish successful programs that benefit fish and fishermen. Today, this legacy is at risk unless we step up and lead the fight for real world conservation. That's what the Sport Fishing Conservancy is all about, doing what's best for fish and fishing and making sure anglers get the credit we deserve. Check out the Sport Fishing Conservancy and find out how you can help at sportcon.org.
Cutthroat, northern pike, largemouth, speckled trout, dorado, coho, flying fish, walleye, bonefish, sunfish, codfish, monkfish, shark, barracuda, tarpon, hammerhead, bluefin, great white mackerel.
I'm sorry, Richard. You told me it's time to start to the radio show. I was listening to the bumper music. Anyway, Grizz, we have someone on the line that's going to help us catch fish. And even as good as you are, when you're up and looking around, it's very difficult for you to actually see where the temperature breaks are and where the currents are, unless you can see the scum line. But we have someone that can, before you even leave the dock, tell you exactly where they are and put you right on it. We have Jeff from Terrafin on the line with us, Jeff Gammon, I believe. And first of all, Jeff, why don't you explain what Terrafin is?
Hi, John. Well, Terrafin is a satellite imaging service. What we do is we started years ago with just the water temperature charts to show where the temperature breaks were, and started out actually with just some of the Southern California and expanded to the West Coast and the East Coast, and now do a lot of Mexico and Central America. But we also now have different types of data, the chlorophyll charts that show the water clarity, water color, currents and altimetry, a lot of different types of satellite data.
Yeah, well, let me just make a comment. Grizz, I know that you're, probably most famous as, a guide and a television personality and an angler, but you've also done some hunting in the past. And hunting and fishing, I think, have something in common, and that is, what do you look for, or where do you go if you think you're going to find game, whether it's in the water or on land?
Where there's food?
Well, yeah, that's true. But normally,
if there's no food, there's not going to be anything.
No, but it's always the ridge lines or the edges, correct?
Oh yeah, I thought that was a trick question, John. I thought you were messing with me.
Yeah. So, what you're normally looking for is, is the edge of the current break or the chlorophyll or the edge of the mountain or the edge of the drop off, in the contour. And, you can see the contour of the land, but you can't really see in the water, where the breaks are and what the temperature is. And certainly, a lot of fish like to travel in different temperatures of water. So this could be an invaluable tool.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody that does tournament fishing here, especially for big bucks, they have to have that service, or if they don't, they're really in trouble, because it's one of the best things you can get to get out there and, like you said, find the breaks, find the water temperature. It's, you can use one and then find the where the water break line is, from the blue to the green, and troll through that, and you're always going to pick up success because that's where your bait fish is. So what they've got going is you can just sit down in your computer, get a readout. I mean, you've got to have it. Or you can sit on the bank and put a worm and a bobber and sit there and just don't worry about it.
Well, that's not a bad day either sometimes. But I think that answer before of, where the food is, it's the same answer when you're looking for the fish. And that's what those breaks are, is where the food is.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, you've got your offshore fish, the tuna, albacore, that like to travel. They like to travel in that clean blue water, but that water doesn't have any nutrients, doesn't have any plankton, and doesn't have a lot of food. So that's why they'll end up being, what they really want is to eat. So they're going to be on those edges where the greener, higher plankton concentration, more bait fish. So where the food is the right answer, I think.
Well,
thank you. I really appreciate that. John always gives me hell.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you go to fishtalkradio.com and you can click on where it says weather, there's one that says Terrafin. And you can get a sample of what it's about. You just click it on, and you get an idea of what it is that we're talking about.
Check it out there. And one thing I just want, if you've got a second, we've got an app coming out for the iPad and iPhone.
Wow.
Probably, we're just waiting for Apple to approve it, and then it'll be available in the App Store. It's a free. The app is free. You still have to be a subscriber to Terrafin, but it'll let you carry that data out with you. So we've had so many requests for that.
Well, and just, let's go ahead and let people know that, what you can do is you can access 24/7, 365 days a year for one low annual price.
One price, yeah, $99, and that gives you access to everything. So you can look at your region, you can look at Panama, Cabo, whatever areas you want to see.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we'd like everybody to have their own account, but if somebody wants to print it out and hand it to their friend, they can do that, too.
Well, they can. If they'll use a lot of ink, it's cheaper to make your friend sign up, too.
There you go. There you go. But, matter of fact, that's another great idea for Christmas.
Oh, it's a nice Christmas gift, sure.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants to sign up for that, they just give you an email or a phone call or what?
They can just give us a call and we'll send them a gift certificate or email them something like that, or we can set up an account to start at a later date. We're pretty flexible.
Well, you know, you can always, if you can spell the name, you can always find it on the internet, and that's TerrAfin.
That's it.
There, like terrafin, like earth, I guess. I don't know what fin's supposed to mean, but anyway.
A fish.
I gotta have a little fishing reference in
there. That's right. It's got to do with a fish, John.
Okay. Okay. But, you know, we didn't even get a chance to talk about what chlorophyll has to do with it. But as, again, Grizz mentioned that, you know, there's, you know, when you're looking for big game, if you're fishing for salmon, you want kind of murky water. But if you're out, you know, looking for marlin, dorado, you want to get into the blue water.
Right.
Where the blue and green come together.
Mm-hmm. Where the blue and green come together, right.
Okay.
And you can't go wrong.
Okay. Well, Jeff, we appreciate having you on, and hopefully I'll probably see you at the Hall Show again this year.
Okay. I'll be there for sure. Thanks
All right.
Thanks for calling.
You bet.
Talk to you later.
Have a very Merry Christmas. And by the way, Christmas is coming up. If you want to renew my annual subscription for Christmas, that would be okay.
Let me take a look at it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, Jeff. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Guys, take care.
Right. Hey, Grizz, what we're going to do now is we've been all over the world, and we're going to kind of take a step back and do a lake report from one of the finest inland freshwater fishes in Southern California at Diamond Valley Lake. And we have Tawny on the line. That's going to give us an idea what's going on this time of the year. Tawny?
Fishing has been really good, lots of trout lately and lots of striper. There's been lots of catfish and bluegill also caught.
But not a lot of anglers, right?
Not very many. It's been kind of slow because of weather, and we also had a bad algae bloom, but it's all gone now.
Oh, okay. Well, algae bloom is usually when it's warm, right, or the water turns over?
Yeah. And then it was a little warm a couple weeks ago, and then we had the storm, so now everything mm-hmm. is kind of disappearing. So
right. Well, you know, we've been talking, you know, it may not sound quite as exciting when we're talking about these huge yellowfin tuna and these giant marlin that Grizz is going to talk about in a couple of minutes. But, you know, Diamond Valley Lake, I've had the opportunity to fish there. And obviously it's man-made, as most of them are. But this one was not just designed to be just the ability to hold water for irrigation. When they put it together, they did it in such a way to enhance the fishery.
Yes, and it's been pretty good.
Been pretty good, okay.
Yeah.
Well, don't get too excited.
But yeah.
No, there's just a lot of, you know, they left a lot of structure on purpose, and then they you know, before they even opened the lake, it's only been, what, 5-6 years since they opened it?
Actually, I think it's been open for about 9 years, or 10 years now.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Gosh, it goes by, doesn't it, Grizz?
Yeah, it does.
But anyway.
When you're as old as you are.
I know. It's been, I'll get you back.
I know. Right. You've been doing it all day.
Okay, Grizz, I'm sorry about the comment about your pumpkin head.
That's what got you in trouble, John.
Okay. But anyway, you know, Diamond Valley, it really is a diamond, not necessarily in the rough, but, you know, as far as the fisheries, because they stock it a lot.
Yep,
and it's specifically designed, you know, to be for sports anglers.
Yeah, it's been very good fishing pretty much all year round. So,
mm-hmm. Well, we know that it's kind of a put-and-take lake, but you've got a lot more in there than that, don't you?
We do. We have lots of different kinds of fish here, and we have lots of activities to do here as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for people that are not that familiar with Diamond Valley Lake, give us an idea where you're located.
We are 90 miles east of Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
I believe, and 90 miles north of San Diego.
Okay. Well, that's pretty easy to find.
Yep, and our phone number here is 951-926-7201.
951-926-7201. And I suspect that you've also can be found on the website.
Yes, at dvmarina.com.
Yeah, well, Diamond Valley, dvmarina.com. I'm sorry, do you have to get that phone?
No, it's okay.
Okay, good, because we're more important.
Well, tell them to shut up then.
Yeah.
I'll skip this phone call. Hopefully they don't call again.
Okay. And, you know, are there, you know, I've been there and I, you know, I've taken a boat out. Do you have any facilities for people that want to spend the night?
Not here. There is no camping, but there is places in town, like three campings in town or different lakes around here that you can also go camping at.
Uh-huh.
Because we're a day use facility right now.
Right. So. Grizz, stop rustling those papers.
I'm sorry. I dropped a whole whole bunch of papers on the floor.
Oh, good.
I'm okay. Sorry about that.
All right. Okay. And the again, I got interrupted, but it's
dvmarina.com.
Okay, Tani, as usual, you did a great job, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas, and please stay warm up there, okay?
Thank you, you too.
All right, Tani. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan with the Grizz. We appreciate you tuning in. Grizz?